Welcome back. Well, a few weeks ago, President Cyril Ramaphosa put his best foot forward, attempting to woo local and international investors. And while he managed to secure a number of pledges, concerns around growth in South Africa remain, with the energy crisis dimming the economy's prospects. And joining me now to share his perspective on the South African investment landscape is Isaac Odendaal from Old Mutual Wealth. Well, the energy crisis, I guess that's the first thing that you think about when somebody is asking you if South Africa is investable. The first question that pops up in your head is, oh no, with load shedding. So is that actually the first place that you need to look?
Yes, and no. And I say yes, because obviously it's a major crisis for the economy at the moment, and it's the main thing that is dragging down our growth performance. And if you look at growth forecasts for the whole year, I mean, they are now basically being marked down to close to zero.
Yeah.
But I say no, because, you know, if you want to invest in a country, whether as a direct investor, you know, want to build a factory, or whether you're just investing in shares and bonds in a country, you need to look at a broader picture and a broader set of factors. You know, you want to look at property rights, you want to look at, you know, inflation dynamics, you want to look at the potential growth of your business, you want to look at the institutional strength of the environment. So it's a multifaceted approach that you should take. And of course, the other thing about the electricity crisis, although this is really, really bad at the moment, we also know that there's a pretty big pipeline of independent projects lined up that will result in load shedding becoming less of an issue in the years ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just looking at the global landscape, things don't look particularly good from a growth front. We're now just waiting for US GDP figures to come in for the first quarter and to actually see how even that banking crisis has affected growth in the US. We have tighter monetary and market conditions with high inflation and high interest rates. So just looking at that and then actually now zooming into the EM space, how then do you look at South Africa with all these headwinds in the global economy, and then zooming into the EM space, how then do you look at South Africa?
Yeah, so I think the point is important. You know, so it's a challenging environment for emerging markets. You know, when the dollar is strong, when global interest rates are rising, growth is coming under pressure. That's never good news for emerging markets. So it's no surprise that money's been flowing out of emerging markets and by implication out of South Africa. Now the sort of the Chinese reopening story does help the EM somewhat. But yeah, typically when you've had US interest rates rising, it's not good news for emerging markets. But then if you look at within the emerging market complex, I think South Africa has really been sort of tarred with a brush by investors as being a slow growing economy.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
If you look at, you know, if you compare us with other emerging markets on a range of metrics, again, which I discussed earlier, you know, you look at property rights, corruption, rule of law. I mean, we're not great, but compared to our emerging market peers, you know, we actually stack up quite nicely. But where we do stand out is that we're not a fast-growing economy. We're not like India. We're not like Indonesia or Vietnam. So we don't have that nice growth story underpinning it all. And I think that's something that investors often latch onto. You know, they want that nice narrative of, you know, this is an economy that's transforming and growing and, you know, middle class is expanding, et cetera, et cetera. You just don't have that in South Africa. By the way, you also don't have that in a lot of Latin America. You know, so our growth profile is not that different to Brazil's, for instance, or Mexico.
Yeah.
But I think investors are really interested in that fast-growing story that you get in India, for instance.
Yeah, indeed. And it's even quite interesting when you look at South Africa in the BRICS context, that all these other economies are really powering on and South Africa is just remaining sluggish and basically with Eskom and other structural issues dragging the economy down. But just looking at South Africa's equities and bonds, what has investor behavior looked like?
Yeah, so as I said, you've got outflows. You know, you've got international outflows from the equity market and from the bond market. Now, you know, there are different views on this. The one view is that, you know, that's a forward-looking indicator and tells you the market's going to fall because foreigners are selling. But my view is it's more the other way around. You know, foreigners have been pulling out because they've been getting disappointing returns. So if you look at, you know, you need to look at it from the point of view of a foreign investor, in other words, in dollar terms, and obviously with the rand being weak, their South African returns have really been under pressure. And, you know, that's often a an excuse for them to sell. They don't want to sit with something in their portfolio that's down by 25, 20, 30%. For South African investors, of course, the opposite is true. When the rand is weak, we actually tend to do quite well because we do have lots of global exposure. And on the JSE itself, we've got, a lot of shares that are rand hedge shares. So we don't actually mind a weak currency that much. But if you're a foreigner, weak currency is a pain, especially if you're thinking about bonds, because in a bond, your return is going to be pretty much the yield that you're paying. So South African bonds, you're getting, 7, 8, 9, 10% yield, but the currency's moved 25% and it's going to wipe out that bond return pretty quickly. So I think one of the things that foreign investors want is they want the greater sense that the rand is as sort of bottomed and is going to start doing better before they start becoming interested in this market again.
Yeah, and actually talking about those bonds, there's been a lot of attractiveness, particularly from foreigners, for our South African bonds. And I guess really that bodes well in terms of the stability, the financial stability of the country, of the treasury, of the government. But does any of this give any direction in terms of whether an investor should invest in South African-focused stocks and bonds versus offshore?
Yeah, look, I think it really depends on your own portfolio as an investor. I think you need to think about, first of all, your total exposure to different countries, different regions globally. I mean, I don't think it makes sense to have all your money in South Africa. So think about your total exposure to South Africa and make sure that you are properly diversified. But having said that, I think, often your best indicator of future return, it's not a perfect indicator, but it's a good indicator of future return, is just the valuation at which you buy an asset. So if you're getting a high yield, which you can get in equities and get in bond, that has historically been an indicator that you can expect better than average returns from that particular asset class. So in South Africa at the moment, you are set up for better than average returns from bonds and equities. Obviously, you want to balance that against all the risks that we have and the currency that I spoke about, and just the fact that, it's a big world out there and there are lots of other investment opportunities as well. So it's all about balancing and making sure that you are appropriately diversified, which it's like motherhood and apple pie, but it's important. But again, realizing that there is value in the South African market.
Yeah, and obviously those risks also lending to the price that you go in at with South African assets considered to be quite cheap because of those risks. But thank you so much for your time and for your insights, Isak. That was an investment strategist at Old Mutual Wealth, Isak Wodendal.